Tonight, take your Bibles and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. We finished up chapter 1 last week and talked about being transformed by grace. And in review, if God's grace can transform you to be who God wants you to be, if you let it, we can resist His grace. Verses 12 through 14, we see the call of God's grace. God's grace enabled Paul's ministry. It extinguished Paul's unbelief because he did all this zeal, all these religious things in unbelief, and grace changed him. And then it exceeded Paul's expectation. You know, marvelous grace, grace greater than our sin. Amen. Everything God does should exceed your expectation. If not, you serve a little God. I serve a mighty God. Amen. He can do all those things. So it's a call of God's grace. In verses 15 and 16, we see the circumstances of God's grace. Grace is absolutely essential for salvation. It is God's plan. It was Paul's purpose for ministry. And he said in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2, he says, I don't want to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen. He wanted the gospel message to go out. And grace in our lives will enable us to do service. It'll allow us to do things that we never thought possible. It would allow us to deal with people that we never thought we could deal with in situations that we wouldn't even consider. But God's grace is sufficient. And then verses 17 through 20, we see the charge of God's grace. It's a call to worship. He has a call to worship and glory here. It's kind of like a doxology, okay? And it's a call to hold fast to the faith. And folks, in these last days, we need to take the fight to the enemy. Amen. And our faith will overcome the world. It is the victory that we have in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. How do you take the faith to the enemy? Beholding faith through the Word. The Word of God is essential for grace. The Word of God is essential for faith. So then faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And then we need to hold a good conscience through faith. So, transformed by grace. Chapters 2 and 3 talk about what goes on in a church. Remember, he has left Timothy at Ephesus to basically fix them doctrinally, okay? To lead them in truth. And so tonight, we're going to talk about proper public worship. And we're going to cover all of chapter 2 tonight of 1 Timothy. So 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 15. And basically, the central thought is that these are instructions for proper public worship. There's three things that we need to look at. In the first seven verses, worship should start out with prayer. And so we need to understand that there's a call to prayer in our worship. Amen. And in verse 1, we need to pray for all men. It says here, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. The call to prayer means that each and every one of us must grab its passion. Paul talks about exhorting here. When he wants us to be as zealous as we can for God. And if you can't pray, you won't serve. If you can't pray, you won't witness. If you can't pray, you can't worship. And he says, look, he says, you have to have a passion for prayer here. Then he says that, first of all, it's not the first thing, it's the first in order. It's a preeminence thing. So a call to prayer needs to be our priority in our life. If you have a passion for prayer, you will make it an integral part of your life. Thirdly, we see four principles of prayer. You know, if prayer is just asking for you, you're missing the boat. It goes beyond you. It ministers. It's an opportunity. So he says here, supplications. Supplication is to ask for something for yourself or for your family. Then prayers. That's in general. Just general prayers. And, you know, Romans chapter 8, if we don't know what to pray for, the Holy Spirit corrects that. Intercessions, that's praying for needs of other people. And we have a lot of intercessory prayer when we pray before our Sunday school and Sunday night, Wednesday night service. But if our prayer life is just related to those three times, we got a problem. Okay? We need to intercede for all things. And then, last Sunday morning, we talked about the need to be what? Thankful. Okay? If you can't thank God for doing something in your life, you got a problem in your walk. You need to trust. You need to check up on things. Now, so, it's passion. It's priority. It's four principles here. And it says, be made for all men. It's perspective. If all you do is pray for the people that you like, your friends, you're missing the boat. And you're out of God's will. Because it says, for how many men? All. For alls. We pray for even our enemies. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. Christ on a Sermon on the Mount, blows her mind. He says, by saying to you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And what? And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. You know, that's totally against human nature. Our human nature says, let's get even. Okay? In reality, we need to pray. So we see here this call to prayer. The first point here is that we need to pray for all men. It's passion, it's priority, it's principles, and it's perspective. Secondly, in verse 2, we need to pray for all in authority. It says for kings and for all that are in authority, regardless of what political affiliation they have. Okay? They're in the wrong party for you. Doesn't matter. You need to pray for them. God tells us to do it. Okay? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So here's the point on this one. We need to pray for all authority, for authority out of respect or in respect for their position. Romans chapter 13, the first 7 or 8 verses of it, talks about our relationship with civil government. And he says here in verse 5, he says this. He says, wherefore, ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. There's a lot of people, and you probably could hear it in the news, that, well, everybody else breaks the law, so we're going to break the law too. That should not come out of a Christian's mouth. We ought to be examples of following God. Because you know what? Who put authority there? God did. Even Pilate, who crucified Christ, Pilate said, don't you understand that I have the power to give you, release you, or the power to kill you? And what did Jesus say? He said, you wouldn't have any power at all unless my Father gave it to you. And so the issue is we need to pray for people and have proper respect for them. I can tell you, your prayers will be hindered. And your prayers will be misapplied. You'll pray the wrong thing if you pray in a hatred thing. If you pray to get even. Those are God's purview. You don't get even. You just want everybody to get right. And there's a reason why we want people to be right with God. Okay? It allows our activity in regard. So what does it say here? It says that not only, not basically, it says here for kings, that we may lead a what? Quiet and peaceful life. We want to pray for our government, that our government gives us the ability to do the ministry of Christ.
Right.
We need to pray for the opportunity to spread the gospel. And that's the point here. Okay? In verse 3 of Romans 13, it says, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Now, you may argue against that in today's society. It says, wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is what? Good. And thou shalt have praise of the same. Peter talks about living a life to win your spouse. You will win people to Christ if you live Christ. But in order to live Christ, we need an open environment to do it. And that's what government's for. Now, we do support missionaries that are in countries that basically deny God. But we need to pray that they can continue to minister the gospel. So we pray for all authority so that God's word goes forward. God's plan goes forward. God's work goes forward to do good in all those things. Verses 3 and 4, we need to pray for all to be saved. It says here, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. What? To pray for kings and all that are in authority. Pray that we can live a godly life. Okay? And that we can live an honest life. But it says here, but this, for that's good and acceptable. Who will what? Have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So there's three things that we need to understand here as far as praying for all to be saved. We need to recognize that salvation is God's will. And 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Okay? And so it's recognizing God's will. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of the Savior. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, be not be conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by the what? Renewing your mind. You got to change the way you think. So that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and what?
Perfect
will of God. In everything give thanks, for this is what? The will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Okay? It is the will of God that you abstain from fornication or immorality. There's a lot of things in there that are God's will, but the most important thing is salvation. So it's recognizing God's will. And secondly, in verse 4, it's reaching the lost. I'm sorry. It's reaching the lost. Christ says, when the disciples are talking about time, he says, you think that there's 4 months unto harvest. Look up. Open your eyes. Because the fields are what? White already unto harvest. What are you waiting for to witness? We shouldn't be. We shouldn't be. So it's reaching the lost. And then here in verse 4 it says, and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Here's the point. In order to be saved, you need to understand what the truth is.
Right.
And the world sits in darkness, as it says in John chapter 1. They're in ignorance. Why are they in ignorance? Because they don't know the truth. Now, our job is to get the truth. It's the Holy Spirit's job to deal with that with people. But Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, it says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye what? Heard the word of truth, which is the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believe. Our job is for people to come to the knowledge of the truth. How can they hear except there be a what? Preacher. How can they call on him on whom they've not believed, have not heard? Okay? It says that when you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So there's call to prayer. Pray for all men. Pray for all authority. All in authority. Pray for all to be saved. And lastly, oh, I didn't do that again. Bad thumb. Okay? Pray in acknowledgement of God. We need to come to God on His terms, not ours. Okay? And there's three things in these three verses. First of all, who do we pray to? Jesus. You know why? Because He is our mediator. And 2 Timothy chapter, or 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, it says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ, Jesus." John chapter 14, verse 6 says this, "Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, how? But by me." Job chapter 9, verse 33, when Job's trying to figure out what's going on in his life and all these things going wrong, he says, "Neither is there any daysman or mediator or go-between betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both." See, Christ takes the hand that's extended from God, the Father, and He takes our hand and He brings us together. We're reconciled through Christ. He's our mediator. We pray to Him. Christ is our mediator. We need to understand that. We're not praying to the old man upstairs. We're praying to the one who saved us. Amen. We're praying to the one who died on the cross for us. We're praying for the one who loved us. We're praying for the one who gives us all grace. He and He alone is our mediator. Secondly, we need to acknowledge that Christ is our Savior. Who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in what? In due time. Mark chapter 10 verse 45 says this, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many." It was Christ's purpose to come down to die on the cross. And we need to acknowledge that all the time. It'll make you thankful. And if you're thankful, then it'll make you prayerful. And if you're prayerful, it'll make you holy. And we'll be doing what God wants us to do. Who gave Himself a ransom for all. We need to pray for all. Because Christ died for all. Okay? And then lastly, we need to pray acknowledgement of God because Christ is our ministry. Christ is our ministry. Verse 7 says, "Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in who? Christ. And why not? A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity or truth or truthfulness." So we need to come to God on His terms. He's our go-between. The reason He's our go-between is because He's our Savior. And we need to pray because He's our minister to do this. So we see in these first seven verses of the call to prayer here. Verses 8 to 10, we see, well, there's another verse. Okay? praise our God, who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. You want to know what your ministry is? It's to make people come to Christ. So they can put their hand in God's hand. In Christ's hand. Now, verses 8 through 10. The second point. A call to holiness in worship. Okay? Once again. Is a call for all to pray. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. He says, I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere. Guys, you need to take the spiritual leadership in your family. Amen. You need to take the spiritual leadership in the church. Amen. Okay? Lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Back in old time, they lifted up hands because that was an attitude of prayer. We've kind of gotten away from that. I think a lot of that is because we're too embarrassed to do it. We should not be. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have this ability to do this. Now, the issue here is that everywhere. It's not talking about everywhere space-wise. It's talking about in every church is what he's really talking about here. Can I get this concept down? In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7, it says, but as God has distributed every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk, and what? And so ordain I in all the churches. There's a lot of churches today that say, well, that word doesn't mean for us. It means for all of us. So this is instruction for all of us. No one's exempt. Verse 8, it says, call to pray with genuine faith. He says, I, without wrath and what? Doubting. Okay? James chapter 1 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We need to ask in faith, nothing wavering. It says here, without wrath and doubting. Christ, the Bible says this in Psalms, it says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. James chapter 1, verse 20 says this, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Matthew chapter 18 says this, if you have aught or something against your brother or sister, you go to them and get that fixed. Okay? And then you bring your gift to the altar. Okay? So, it's a call for all to pray. And it's a call to pray with genuine faith. Not just words. But we need to have that passion. We need to make it that priority in our life. And then we get into some other things. Third point is a call to worship in modesty. Okay? In verses 9 and 10, it says, in like manner also. So who's taking the lead in the church? Men. Okay? Who did Christ call as disciples? Men. I'm not going to get into this. Okay? But God has an order for things. Okay? We talked about Ephesians chapter 5, and we're supposed to submit one to another, okay? So we've already been down this road that it's not to have a position over somebody. You have to have one leader, okay? It says, in like manner, also, what? Talk about men, now he's talking about women, okay? That women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety. Not with broidered hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Now here's the issue of the culture at that time. Okay? Timothy's where? At Ephesus. What did Ephesus have?
Diana.
The Diana temple. Okay? Did they have priests? Or did they have priestesses? They had priestesses, okay? And they were all disheveled. They did all sorts of other stuff. A lot of them were prostitution there in the temple. And God is calling for his house to be different. Right. It can't look like an idolatric temple.
Right.
It can't look like that. So in order of worship, it needs to be done that way. Okay? And so, and this applies to women and men. Modesty in clothing. Okay? It says in a like manner, adorn themselves in what? Modest apparel. Okay? What does modest apparel mean? Doesn't mean plain. It just means covering. Okay? Because what's the intent? We need to bring attention to who? God, not to ourselves. And that goes in both sexes. Okay? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, we studied this. We went through this. Who's adorning? Let it not be that with outward adorning of plaiting of hair and of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel. Our clothes should reflect our heart. Okay? Our clothes should reflect our attitude. And it does reflect our attitude toward God. Look at what you see on the TV from Hollywood. What do they want to do? Put on clothes that almost reveals it. Why? Because they want people to look. They want people to look at them. Folks, we want people to look at him.
Amen.
We want people to look at him, not us. The clothing's one thing. Character's another. Character's another. In verse 10 it says, which becometh woman professing what? Godliness. Our character, guys and women, should produce what? Godliness. Okay? With what? Good works. Not what you say, what you do. First Peter chapter 3, verse 4. But let it be with the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the adornment of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. That deals with our testimony. We need to hold our testimony with high regard. Because we need to hold God with high regard.
That's right.
Okay? The Bible says abstain from all appearance of evil. Okay? We're supposed to come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean thing. And I will tell you, my Bible class, I've got kids all wrapped up around this one. Because they got too much of the world in them. They said, well, I want to look like this person. No, you want to look like God. Well, that's no fun. That's a conversation that we're having. So it's not about fun. It's about living a godly life. It's about living a holy life. So, there's this call for all to pray. Pray without wrath and doubting, and pray holiness. There's a call to pray with genuine faith, and that's part of worship. Come in here, just don't go through the motions of worship. All who worship God must worship him in what? Spirit and in truth. And then we need a call to worship in modesty. So then lastly, there's this call to order in the church. Okay? There's a call to order in the church in learning in verse 11. Okay. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. Now, the word silence is used in verse 2 to talk about peaceableness. Used in verse 12, talk about silence. And it means this. in quietness. And the issue is not to cause contention. It's not that you can't say anything in the church. I appreciate people saying amen. That's perfectly fine. But the issue is no contention. It's not about you, it's about God. The second word is to subjection, is to be put under in rank. And anyone that's in the military understands this. There's a chain of command. And you follow the chain of command. You obey the orders of those in authority. We've already talked about praying in authority. Well, I'm equal with my... Yes, you are. But someone has to lead. Now, if the man doesn't lead in family, then the woman needs to lead. But in the church, it need be done God's way, the way He intended for it. I'll give you an example. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 28. Paul is talking about Christ, okay? Christ came down and conquered sin. He conquered death. He rose from the dead. And it says, look at this. It says, that when all things shall be subdued unto Him, then shall the what? Son be also Himself be what? Subject. Same word. If Christ is subject to God the Father, can't we be subject to one another? Can't we do what God? He gives us an example. Subject unto Him that put all things under Him, that God may be all in all, so we can have unity. And if the Father, if the Son is subject to the Father, and the Holy Spirit is subject to the Son, and there's a chain there, there needs to be a chain in the church. Okay? We'll get to this. Chapter 3 talks about the leadership of the church. So it's talking about call to order in church and learning. And I don't care if you're a man or a woman, you don't cause an outburst in the church.
Right.
We don't cause contention in the church. We don't cause confusion in the church. Secondly, in leading, verses 12 through 14. But I suffer, other versions say, I permit it not. Okay? A woman to teach, nor to exert authority over the man, but to be in silence. The exact same word. To be in quietness, to be in peacefulness. Be non-contentious. Okay? Then he goes on and says this, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. We get down here. Yeah, Eve sinned first. But where was Adam? He wasn't leading his wife. And oh, by the way, sin was imputed to Adam, not Eve. Okay? Because there's a special part for women in the Bible, okay? So here's the point. And it doesn't matter who you are. Don't take leadership away from who God's put in place. Okay? Because you're not thinking, you're doing it better. Give a suggestion. Give a help, okay? That's what the absurd authority means. Okay? In Adam, God made man first. Now, you can sit here and disagree and all this other stuff, but I'm just telling, this is what Paul's talking about here. Okay? He also says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that women ought to be covered in church when they pray. Not going to go down this road. Okay? My wife is not inferior to me. My wife is equal to me. But I leave my house. Okay? And folks, men, we're supposed to lead godly families. That's what Ephesians chapter 5 talks about. Okay? But what happens if men don't lead? You know, can a woman be a pastor? No, it's not a church. not a New Testament church. Well, there's other churches. I don't care what other churches do. I'm telling you what the Bible says. And we need to do what the Bible says. Not going down anywhere else. Now, call to order in learning, in leading, and in lifestyle. You know, you never hear this preached. You know why? It's too contentious. I don't like hearing this. Okay? But here is an interesting verse. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing. Who was the promise given to in the garden about bringing forth the Messiah? It was given to Eve. The one who was cursed is the one who's going to bless mankind. Think of that. Because it said out of this, in Genesis 3:15, it says, your seed, Eve, will bruise his head. Okay? Satan's head. Satan's seed's head. Satan's will bruise his heel. Okay? Same one that gave the forbidden fruit is the same one that gave the Messiah to mankind. And think about that. Now, the other thing is that in Genesis it said that there will be difficulty in bearing children. Okay? Some people have said that if you live a godly life, you'll have easy childbirth. No, that's not what that's not absolute. Okay? I was with my wife on all four of her kids, and I know it wasn't an easy thing. Okay? It's not what it's talking about here. Okay? But the issue is we all need to be saved. Okay? And then God allows us to endure things. But this, in the Greek, is talking about she'd be saved by childbirth. We're saved by childbirth too. A little baby in a manger in Bethlehem who died for the sins of the world. So this is what this is talking about. Okay? If they what? Continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Folks, we need to do that all the time. Okay? You want to bring trouble on yourself? Don't live a holy life. You want to bring trouble on yourself? Don't love people. You want to bring trouble on yourself? Don't have faith. You want to bring trouble on yourself? Be out of control. It applies to all of us. So there's a call to order in the church. Next chapter talks about bishops and deacons and all that, all the other stuff. But here's the point. Timothy is dealing in a very promiscuous environment where people have a bunch of worldly ideas and trying to set order and make order out of chaos. And there's chaos there. Okay? And he wants to set it right. We need to follow God's word. Amen. Okay? So let us follow the calling of God. Amen? Amen? That's what we need to do. God's made us a certain way to serve him. We need to find out what that is and follow him. Amen? Amen. The most important thing is you need to be saved. If you don't know him as your Savior, tonight is your opportunity. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came down. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross for mankind's sin. He paid the sin debt, which was the wages of sin. He was buried for 3 days, and on the third day he rose again to show he has power over sin and over death. And he ascended up to heaven. And he offers salvation to all those who would just come to him and say, Father, forgive me, I'm a sinner. I don't deserve heaven. Forgive me my sins and save me. I know that you're Son of God. And I know that you died on the cross for me. And I know that you rose again. And he'll give us the gift of eternal life. Amen. If you've never done that before, tonight's the night. Opportunity. For us, let's live the way God wants us to live. Amen? Let him search our hearts. And let's be right when we leave here tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask you this time of invitation, Father, just search our hearts and help us, Lord, to live for you, to follow your lead, to learn in your grace, and to live a righteous and holy life. Mm-hmm. Give us a good night tonight, Lord, an invitation, Lord, that your Holy Spirit have full reign. Mm-hmm. And help us to leave here changed more like you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.